right, thank you. Good morning. Open your Bibles, the book of Psalms, chapter number 16. It is a wonderful joy and blessing. Be back at the great Columbiana Baptist Church here in Columbiana, Ohio. I was sharing with my dear friend, Dr. Jameson, a moment ago that I have worn my winter overcoat more this spring. Of course, spring started on the 19th, Tuesday of last week. I've worn it more this spring than I have the entire winter. And they tell me, Dr. Jameson, that the Eskimos have 3,000 different words for snow and cold. I have about 7, but they can't be repeated. They really can't. And so you just hang on and you just hold on. Warm weather is just around the corner. But I'm glad that while it may be cold out there, it doesn't have to be cold in here. And it certainly doesn't have to be cold in here. And that's what this meeting is all about, that God would revive us, that God would refresh us, that we would rededicate to that which what he would have us to do. So I'm thrilled to be here. I enjoy Sunday school. Sunday school is an instructional time. And I'll tell you who Sunday school is for, not just Billy and Susie, but Sunday school is for Brother Smith. It sure is. Brother Smith and Sister Jones, Sunday school is for adults as well. So thank you for being in the Sunday school hour. Book of Psalm, chapter number 16, and I'll take but one verse which will serve as a springboard for the thought that I want to try to give to you this morning. Psalm, chapter number 16. And what I like about, and my dear friend, Dr. Jameson's been listening to me preach a long time. I mean a long, in fact, first time he heard me preach, dinosaurs roamed the earth. The ink was wet on the Constitution. There was only 60 books of the Bible the first time he heard me preach. So he knows about what I'm going to say, and that is what I like about starting a meeting in the Sunday school hour is it sets the die, I believe, for the rest of the meeting. And so we appreciate those that will be here in the next service and those that will be here in the evening service, and we'll have visitors that will come throughout the meeting. But right now, I mean, we're laying the first brick. Right now, we're laying the foundation. Right now, we're getting off of the starting block of what I believe God wants to do in each and every one of our hearts. Psalm 16 and verse number 11. That will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And for a few moments in Sunday school, I want to speak on the subject, the rapid path to personal revival. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to stand before a group of people with an open Bible to teach the Word of God. Give us, I pray, spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear, and hearts that would be spiritual enough to respond to the good word of God. And Lord, if you'll do that, we'll be very careful, we'll be very cautious to give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. An individual spiritual awakening, with all of its many blessings and benefits, is far quicker to arrive at and even achieve than the average believer comprehends today. Revival is not a mystical thing. Revival is not a magical thing. But I believe that as we study the truth of revival in the Bible, we see that it is a practical and, of course, a spiritual thing. In the book of Psalms, chapter 16, we find the prediction of the resurrection of the king. One Bible student, Dr. Jameson, penned about this song as a prophet. David understood that not at his first advent, but at some time subsequent to his death and resurrection, Messiah would assume the Davidic throne. But while standing on this mountaintop of prophecy, the psalmist speaks to the monotony of people and how they can move to the fast lane of a meaningful personal revival. Look at verse number 11 again, Psalm 16:11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now I want you to leave a Bible marker in Psalm 16, and I want you to skip over to Psalm chapter number 85. Because in Psalm 85 and verse 6, we find what I call the sister verse to Psalm 16:11. Every verse in the Bible, you've heard me say it through the years, every verse in the Bible has what I call a sister verse. And so the sister verse of Psalm 16:11 is Psalm 85:6. Let me read it to you again. "That will show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Now Psalm 85:6. "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" The great evangelist D.L. Moody wrote in the margin of his Bible, right next to Psalm 16:11, "Joy, quantity, fullness, dignity, at thy right hand, duration forevermore." Friend, you and I can take the speedy, oh my, avenue to a spiritual awakening. Now, I'm so glad that we don't have to wait till Sunday night to have revival. And I'm glad that we don't have to wait till Monday night to have revival. I'm glad we don't have to wait till Wednesday night to have revival. I'm glad to be able to tell you that we can have revival right now. I mean, that quick, that immediate, that fast, we can have revival. You don't have to have a lucky rabbit's foot to have revival. You don't have to have a four-leaf clover to have revival. You don't have to have the winning numbers. The winning number is Psalm 16 and verse number 11. I mean, it's right there in the Bible. You don't have to have a winning number to have revival, but there is a, what I call a speedy avenue to a spiritual awakening. Now quickly, I want to give you four tremendous things that will take the believer immediately to individual revival. Number one, when a saint is reminded. When a saint is reminded. Luke 10:20. "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." A tremendous thing that will take the believer quickly to individual revival is, number one, when a saint is reminded. In Luke chapter number 10, the Lord Jesus Christ had sent out the 70 disciples. They come back from their preaching campaign. They come back from their preaching meeting. They come back from their preaching tour, and they report to the Lord that even the devil and his demons were subject unto them. Now, you would think that Jesus would say, attaboy. You would think that Jesus would say, way to go. You would think Jesus would say, all right, that's awesome. And man, we're gonna put that on the headlines of the Jerusalem Times. But Jesus seems to almost ignore, if you will, their report and says to them, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven." You see, Jesus was trying to help them, and by the way, help us this morning with the truth that sometimes you're not going to have a great service. Sometimes you're not going to have a great campaign. Sometimes you're not going to have a great tour. Sometimes you're not going to have a great meeting. You see, all that was temporal. It was temporal what they experienced in that day. Would you be honest and say, not every day do we have a glowing report. Not every day do we have a great report. And Jesus was trying to help them then, oh my, and help us now with the truth that we're not to rejoice in that which is temporal, we're to rejoice in that which is eternal. And then gives us the top thing that we should rejoice in, and that's our salvation. Now, I wish, and I'm being very transparent, I wish that every battle with the devil I won. I wish that every battle with hell I won. I wish every battle with demons I have won. But if you'd be transparent as well, you'd have to say, there have been some times where he's gotten the victory. There has been some times when he got the point. There are some times that he got the win, and Jesus was just being very, very pointed with them then, I gotta say it, and with us now, in that we shouldn't rejoice in what is passing, but we should rejoice in that which is permanent. Now don't miss this. Sometimes it's those, oh my, that Brother Smith lead the singing. Sometimes it's those of us that sit in the nursery. Sometimes it's those of us that run the sound. Sometimes it's those of us that play the church instruments. Sometimes it's those of us that are in the ministry that need this truth the most, that we shouldn't rejoice in what is passing, but we ought to rejoice in what is permanent. Jesus was letting them know that you should always remember that we've been saved for time and eternity, that never changes. And if we just pondered on that for a moment, it would turn that frown upside down. I believe it would. When a saint is reminded, that will put us quickly on the path to personal revival. Now you think about the biggest temporal blessing you can think about. And then think about this. It pales in comparison to the permanent blessing of being saved. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, you get a raise at work tomorrow. Your mother-in-law can get, I don't know, eternal laryngitis. You could find out that the next 3 nights, I mean, it's going to be warmer in Columbiana, Ohio, than it is in Palm Beach, California. But all that is passing. All that is but for a moment. All that not only has a beginning, but unfortunately has an end too. But if you're saved, there's no end to that. If you're saved, that's forever. If you're saved, I mean, that'll never change, that'll never be altered, that'll never be corrected, and what will take us quickly to the path of, let me put it like this, if God stopped the blessing train, if God turned off the blessing faucet, the fact that you and I are saved, if God never did another thing, if God never answered another prayer, if God never gave another victory, if God never gave another blessing, a favor, a benefit, if all we had this morning was our salvation, we'd have enough to shout the rest of our lives and throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. When a saint is reminded, some time ago, I read Dr. Jameson about Vance Havner. And Vance Havner, the evangelist, had heard Gypsy Smith preach when he was in his 80s. And after the service, he was standing in a line of people that wanted to talk. And if you've just come in, we're in Psalm 16, and I'm speaking on the subject, the rapid path, the personal revival, number one, when a saint is reminded. And so Vance Havner, as a young man, went to hear Gypsy Smith, and after the service, he's in a line wanting to speak to the great evangelist. And he wasn't eavesdropping, but there was a preacher in front of him. And he was next to speak to Vance, to speak to Gypsy Smith, Vance Havner was. And he overheard this preacher say to Gypsy Smith, then in his 80s, he said, "I heard you preach 50 years ago, and you blessed my heart then and again now. What is the secret?" And Vance Havner heard the old evangelist say to that preacher, Gypsy Smith say to that preacher, "I've never gotten over the wonder of it all." And boy, I tell you what, I never want to get over the wonder. I want to never get over the wonder of kneeling at an altar and receiving Christ. I want to never get over the wonder of having eternal life. I never want to get over the wonder that the Lord wrote my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I never want to get over the wonder of being a child of God. And so what will put us on that rapid path to personal revival is, number one, when a saint is reminded. Number two, when a stray is returned. Luke 15:23, "And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." A tremendous thing that will take the believer quickly to individual revival. Number two, when a stray is returned. Boy, there's nothing like a prodigal coming back. There's nothing like a backslider getting right. There's nothing like seeing someone who is out of the will of God get back in the will of God. Boy, I'd love to see that this week. I believe you would too. I'd love to see someone walk in these doors that this church has been praying for and that you have been praying for, and to see them in the service and hear the songs of Zion and the preaching of the Bible and experience the fellowship of God's people. And when an old-fashioned invitation is given, to watch them step out and kneel at an altar and get right with God. Boy, I tell you what, it will put us quickly on the path of rapid revival when a stray is returned. Now, looking at Luke chapter 15, I want to give you several things that will pull the prodigal out of the pig pen. And I wonder, as you leave a Bible marker in Psalm 16:11, go over to Luke chapter 15, and I wonder who'd lift their hand and say, "You know what? I've got a prodigal. I know a prodigal. I have on my heart a prodigal." Would you do that? Would you lift your hand if you know a prodigal? Well, that's almost unanimous. I mean, that's a better number than Joe Biden got when they say he won the... Anyhow, Luke chapter 15. We all know a prodigal. We all have a prodigal. We're all aware of a prodigal. But here's some things from the prodigal... Oh my, Dr. Jameson, the prodigal parable. Here's some things that will help us pull a prodigal out of a pig pen. Would you love to see that happen this week? And by the way, that prodigal didn't have to be within driving distance of this revival meeting. That prodigal can be in another state. That prodigal can be in another zip code. That prodigal can be in another part of the world. But in Luke chapter 15, we find some things that you and I can do to pull the prodigal out of the pig pen. Let's notice it, and it's all found in verse number 20. Number one, our praying. Luke 15:20. "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him." Our praying. You say, "Now wait a minute, Dr. Hamblin, I understand there's power in prayer, but you can't prove to me that the prodigal's father prayed for the prodigal." Well, I beg to differ with you. The fact that he was the first one to saw the prodigal, that saw the prodigal start back, tells me that he was on his prayer list. You see, you don't look for what you don't pray. And what you pray is what you look for. And the fact that he, Dr. Jameson, was the first one that saw the prodigal start back tells me that high on his prayer list was the name of his son. So what will pull the prodigal out of the pig pen? It's our praying. You say, all right, I've got a family member. I've got a former church member. I've got a friend that, I'd invite him to this meeting, but I know they won't listen to me. They'll get mad. They won't hear me. Listen, there are a lot of people that can keep you from talking to them about God, but they can't keep you from talking to God about them. And while I may not be able to speak to them, and you may not be able to speak to them, I'm glad we can speak to God, who certainly can speak to them. It is our praying that will pull the prodigal out of the pig pen. Secondly, our pursuing. Again, Luke 15 and 20, and had compassion and ran. The second thing that we can do, Brother Smith, to pull a prodigal out of the pig pen, secondly, is our pursuing. Now, I want to throw it in park for a moment and just stop right here and say that it would do us well if we noted that we do not chase from the farm, but we chase from the far country. Dr. Jameson, in the years that you've been in the ministry, you and your dear wife, how many times have you seen people chase from the farm? We don't chase from the farm. We chase from the far country. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, when somebody wants to go out in the world, we don't chase after them. You chase after someone who is determined as the prodigal to go into the world, guess what? They'll only increase their speed to the world. But we do chase them when they start back. In fact, their baby toe shouldn't be able to hit the property line of the Columbiana Baptist Church in Columbiana, Ohio, but what there ought to be a grand group of people that are welcoming that prodigal back. Let me say it again. I just called it a golden nugget of truth from the gold mine of the Bible. We don't chase from the farm, but from the far country. Our pursuing. And then thirdly, by the way, I got to go back to our pursuing. You know, the prodigal is counting on you not to give up on him. Now, they may never say that. And they may never articulate that, and they may never put that into words, but the prodigal is counting on you to keep the doors of the Columbiana Baptist Church open. They're counting on you to keep them on their prayer list, on your prayer list. They're counting on you to never give up hope. Thirdly, not only are pursuing, or rather are praying and are pursuing, thirdly, our pardoning. Again, verse 20. And fell on his neck and kissed him. Those two acts, and fell on his neck and kissed him, are a beautiful picture of what forgiveness is. Our pardoning. Oh, listen, friend, for the prodigals that we know, for the prodigals that are not just on our mind, but more importantly, on our heart, there ought to be our praying, our pursuing, and our pardoning when a stray is returned. Number three, when a sinner is reached. Psalm 126, 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. A tremendous thing that will take the believer quickly to individual revival is when a sinner is reached. Boy, I tell you what, it ought to thrill you and I when somebody gets saved. It ought to thrill us when God uses the likes of me, and by the way, the likes of you, and yes, the likes of all of us, to see someone birthed into the family of God. I mean, that ought to absolutely start a party in our heart when a sinner is reached. You'll never be the same never the same after the God of glory uses you to see someone gloriously saved. You'll never be the same. A few weeks ago, Dr. Jameson and I was in a missions revival in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And on Sunday night, there was a sharp young couple that came in, Logan and April. And during the invitation, Logan and April came forward. And I don't often do this. I let the church where I'm preaching, they have altar workers. I let them deal with folks. But I just, for some reason, Dr. Jameson, when that sharp young couple came down the aisle, and they raised their hand. First time visitors, they raised their hand to be saved. And they just stepped right out. And as they got to the altar, Ms. Smith, I waved the altar workers off. It is awesome being 63 years of age. I'm just loving it. I mean, you just do what you want to do and just other people got to deal with it. I love being 63. Now, Mrs. Hamlin says, 63 doesn't have anything to do with it. She said, you were born that way, but that's another topic altogether. But here they come forward, Dr. Jameson, sharp young couple. I later learned at 21 years of age, Logan and April, first time visitors, they step out and as they're coming to the altar, I came around the pulpit and waved off an altar worker and I personally had the privilege of leading them to Christ at the altar. Boy, you talk about excited. We later learned after the service, are you ready? You need to put your seatbelt on. I mean, you need to cinch it tight. Put the snack tray in the upright position. Note the no smoking sign, which you should have done that a long time ago. But cinch that seatbelt. We later learned, Dr. Jameson, these first-time visitors, Logan and April, in their 20s, 21 years of age, we later learned that they had Googled a church near them, a fundamental church near them that still had, are you ready? A Sunday night preaching service.
Amen.
Both of them got saved.
Amen.
They came back Tuesday night. They came back Wednesday night. And Wednesday night brought their mom and one of their friends. I tell you what, thrilling. Absolutely thrilling. I stayed up, maybe some of you did as well. I'm watching March Madness, and there was a game. I forget now who even played. The game went into double overtime, and man, I watched it, and man, it was back and forth and back and forth, and man, I enjoyed it. And I watched it so long that I thought, I'm not just going to wait till the morning to find out what happened. And it was a great game, and it took the other team into the Sweet 16, and that's pretty awesome. And double overtime, that's a big deal, and back and forth. But you know what? That Sunday night that Logan and April trusted Christ as their Savior, that's way better than anything. Way better than any sport event. Way better than any political victory. Way better than anything that really 5 years from now, we won't hardly even remember. When the sinner is reached. And then number four, and last of all, and I want to spend the rest of my time. And Dr. Jameson, we end at what time, sir? Again, refresh my memory. All right, very good. That's all I need. Thank you, sir. Not only number one, when a saint is reminded. And number two, when a stray is returned. And number three, when a sinner is reached. But here's where I want to spend a little bit of time. Number four and last of all, when a situation is received. Number four, when a situation is received. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. A tremendous thing that will take the believer quickly to individual revival is when a situation is received. In Philippians 4:4, the Apostle Paul is telling us that as believers, we should always be rejoicing. And that word always simply means at all times. And we have to keep in mind that the epistle of Philippians is a prison epistle. It is a prison letter. It is a prison book. See, Paul wasn't at a resort. Paul wasn't even at a rest home. Paul is in the rigors of a prison. And it's from that prison that he simply writes with a pen of inspiration, and we have it on the page of preservation, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." To embrace what you don't enjoy just may be the key that so many believers miss in having revival in their own lives. Now, I wonder what it is you're struggling with this morning. I wonder what you have set against your life that God's trying to do. And by the way, what God does is not always enjoyable, but it's always educational. And God never does anything in my life, and he never does anything in your life, but what it's for our good, don't miss this, and for his glory. But I just kind of feel, Dr. Jameson, that this might be the single thing, and I know you didn't see it coming, and I've got to be honest, when I prepared this thought, I didn't see it coming either. But I know you didn't think it was coming, but not receiving what God has put in your life just might be the missing key that's on your spiritual key ring that'll keep you from having revival. This morning, this evening, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, if you came to every service, and I trust that you will, and you brought someone with you, and I trust that you will, but you didn't receive what God has going on in your life, it wouldn't matter who the evangelist is. I mean, you could get Billy Sunday out of heaven for just a handful of day pass, and then he's got to go to heaven after the meeting is over. Billy Sunday could preach this meeting, and you and I still wouldn't have revival if we're not receiving what God has put into our life. Now, I want you to grab a hymn book. Would you do it? Grab a hymn book. And what I want you to do with that hymn book is I want you to turn in that hymn book till you come to a hymn that has on the top the name Fanny Crosby. And then what I want you to do when you find that page, I want you to raise your hand, and then I'll call on you, and then I will ask you to give the page number and then the hymn. I put in my notes, Dr. Jameson, that you couldn't turn 10 pages in a fundamental hymn book without finding the name Fanny Crosby. And then in my study, I grabbed a hymn book and turned to 5 pages and had to go back to my notes and scratch out 10 and put the number 5. Now, before you give me those hymns, let me just give you a quote. "You know, if at birth I had one petition, it would be to be born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." Fanny Crosby said that. My brother, give me that number and that hymn. Ma'am? Yes, ma'am. 105, Rescue the Perishing. What was you both had? 228, He Hideth My Soul. Yes, ma'am. 279, Never Give Up. Yes, sir. 154, Jesus Is Calling, Pastor. 65, Near the Cross. Someone else. Give me a Fanny Crosby hymn. Yes, ma'am. 354, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Yes, sir.
Be Thou Exalted.
527, Be Thou Exalted. Yes, sir, you got another one. No, give me another one. Don't stop there. Yes, ma'am. 72, My Savior, First of All. Yes, sir. 5:18. Will Jesus find us watching? Yes, ma'am. 4:57. To God be the glory. Someone else. Give me a fanny. Yes, sir.
Five twelve.
All the way my Savior leads me. Yes, sir.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. 500.
500. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Yes, ma'am. 311. Redeemed. Yes, ma'am. 459 to the work. That's a great one. We don't often sing that, but that's awesome. Yes, sir.
Blessed assurance.
506. Blessed assurance. Brother Smith, do you know to the work? You need to learn it. That's a good one. Yes, ma'am. 223, draw me near. Now, is anybody catching this? Is anybody? Hand me your hymn book, if you would, my brother. I mean, you can't turn five pages. I said 10, but then I checked it out and I was wrong. You can't turn five pages without finding a page that has Fanny Crosby's name on it. And I got to tell you one more time what she said. Do you know if at birth, when she was a little girl, she had a eye infection, and a quack doctor put poluses, which would be like eye packs on her eyes. And as a little girl, because of a quack doctor, she lost her sight. And she said, do you know if at birth I had one petition, it would be to be born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. Now you take Philippians 4:4, oh my. You take that statement and you take the fact you can't turn five hymn pages without finding a hymn that Fanny Crosby wrote, and I wonder what we miss in our lives. I wonder what we don't experience in our lives because of a situation that we simply have not received. Look back at Psalm 16 and verse number 11. I just call it, Dr. Jameson, the rapid path to individual revival. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. When a saint is reminded, when a stray is returned, when a sinner is reached, when a situation is received. Whatever you're going through this morning, it may be that God's just simply looking for you to surrender. Not to struggle, but to surrender. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.